The news this past week included the sad revelation that Senator John McCain was diagnosed with brain cancer. To most, those two words mean last call, and you have time to check that bucket list. However, medical science through treatment and trials have changed the ways that cancer impacts a person. Our next guest joins us to explain what Senator McCain is facing, his prognosis, and his treatment options. He is the director of neuro-oncology at the Cancer Institute of New Jersey, Dr. Robert Akin. Thanks for being here today, doctor.
Well, thank you for having me.
And the website for the Cancer Institute of New Jersey is cinj.org. Learn more about the services that they provide and the research, the inroads that they are making. So to start off, doctor, the Senator McCain has been diagnosed with a tumor that's known called a glioblastoma. On the scale of severity, what does that offer for the immediate future?
Well, a glioblastoma is typically what we call a grade 4 tumor, which is the most cancerous primary brain tumor that is known. It is something that occurs at all ages, but it certainly occurs more commonly in older individuals. In terms of prognosis, I always tell patients that I really don't know how individual patients are going to respond to a treatment. We start out and we hope for the best. This does have a typically limited prognosis, but there are, having said that, a number of elderly patients who would be thought to have a bad prognosis who actually turn out to do quite well.
I've seen the survival rates range, depending on the doctor and the report, everything between a year to 2.5 years. But again, as you say, it is based on the individual. And you know, other people, too, say that McCain, as other people are, they're, quote-unquote, fighters. Does attitude add to the survival rate in any way?
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily been measured in any sort of scientific way, but there is no question that having a fighting posture toward your disease is much more likely to result in both feeling better and perhaps being more optimistic and more hopeful. And I think that these issues can certainly only improve a person's quality of life and attitude toward life, rather than sitting back and letting these diseases roll over you.
Senator McCain has had over the years a couple of experiences with primarily surface and skin cancers. Does that make someone more prone to a more serious cancer like this?
Well, there is a condition which is known as melanoma astrocytoma, which is a hereditary or at least a syndrome which does have both patients who have melanoma and astrocytoma. So there are certain genetic abnormalities, one in particular, that could conceivably represent his predisposition, if it's fair to call it that, toward these two particular cancers. However, in a man of 80, it is certainly not unusual to have two or three different kinds of conditions that just happen coincidentally to occur in the same individual.
I'm talking with Dr. Robert Akin, who is the director of neuro-oncology at the Cancer Institute of New Jersey. The website is cinj.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. One of the elements I've heard of a glioblastoma tumor is it contains many types of cells. And as a layperson, I always thought a cancer cell was a cancer cell. Are there that many varieties, and is this a case where the most varieties are contained in this one instance?
Glioblastoma is a very heterogeneous cancer. In fact, many cancers are actually quite heterogeneous. So within a number of cells, there are cells that behave one way and cells that behave quite a different way. We generally tailor our treatments to the most aggressive or most cancerous process, which is the tumor taken as a whole. But we do know that within any cancer, there are certainly cells that appear to be much more aggressive and much more resistant to a treatment than others.
Which makes sense of something else I read about the glioblastoma. The doctor said you can slow it down, but you can't stop it, or at least it's difficult to stop it.
Yes, these are really tumors that are controllable in a number of patients, but they are not curable.
With a tumor such as this, and really any brain tumor, are there symptoms, or is this something that is only discovered through exams, as was in this case where the senator was going through an exam and surgery for a blood clot above his left eye?
Well, we really don't know what the story is with the senator. I mean, it is conceivable that he was having some symptoms which might have been told to his doctor. But it is unusual for tumors of this nature to be totally asymptomatic and discovered perhaps on an examination or on imaging, although that does happen. More commonly, these conditions arise very gradually, either because of escalating headaches, escalating motor weakness, and again, the kind of motor weakness is really dependent on the part of the brain that is initially impacted. There are sometimes cognitive impairments which can herald the concern about a brain tumor. And of course, the one thing that does occur rather abruptly in a number of patients is that they can actually present with a generalized or focal seizure without any prior history of having had seizures.
And that idea too of communication skills and motor skills, well, the headaches, we all dismiss those, and motor skills we always dismiss as, well, I'm tired or getting old, but I think it was during the James Comey hearing that a lot of people were critical, even mocking Senator McCain, because he started wandering off in his talk and saying that something about the Arizona Diamondbacks, so he lost his train of thought. So that might have been, in hindsight, one of the superficial characteristics or a symptom of what we now know he's suffering from. As far as treatment, doctor, Is it a simple choice between radiation and further surgery, or is there anything else that is available for a case such as this?
Usually, maximum safe resection is the initial treatment. Since his tumor originated above his left eye, my take on that is that it probably involved his left frontal lobe, the anteriormost portion of his brain on the left side. This is certainly an area that can be resected very generously in many patients. And subsequent to that is usually a program of concurrent radiation, which is delivered to the tumor and the area around it, as well as concurrent chemotherapy. Beyond that, there may be other avenues of treatment which could be relevant based on the molecular genetic characteristics of his individual tumor. So that means that his tumor needs to be sequenced through a genetic sequencing panel in order to determine if his tumor possesses errors or genetic mutations which could be amenable to other chemotherapy or targeted therapy kinds of approaches.
I want to spend a few moments just giving you a chance to talk about the work at the Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey, because along with services you provide for patients, from what I've been able to research and read up about your many areas of expertise at the center, at the institute, you seem to be able to either work toward or develop different and new and more advanced means of treating the various cancers and injuries that you come across with the patients that you treat.
Well, the Cancer Institute of New Jersey, which is now part of Rutgers, so it's Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey, is an NCI-designated, National Cancer Institute-designated comprehensive cancer center. I think there are about 40-some-odd NCI-designated comprehensive cancer centers in the United States. So in order to become a comprehensive cancer center, it is necessary to demonstrate prowess in basic research, as well as in clinical research and in the delivery of advanced care to patients over a wide variety of tumor types. So within the Cancer Institute, we have various programs devoted to breast, lung, melanoma, GI, gastrointestinal and genitourinary tumors, as well as to neuro-oncology or brain tumors. So our abilities to treat patients both with standard therapies as well as with evolving therapies is constantly changing.
He is the director of neuro-oncology at the Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey. Learn more about their services that they offer, the treatments and care they provide. Their website is cinj.org. Dr. Robert Aiken, thank you so much for your education today and for being here.
Thank you for having me.